All right, I'm going to ask if you'll turn in your Bibles this evening to the second epistle of Peter. And we're going to take a real simple thought this evening. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. We've got a lot to cover. I'm looking at the clock back there on the wall, and I want to get you out on time. But I have been looking at Peter and looking at the situation of each of the apostles through the lens of a book I was made aware of a few months ago. And, you know, we study the Word of God, and we immerse ourselves into it, and we read, and we read, and we read. And it's amazing that God can reveal himself so deeply through something that we've read so many different times before. And we're going to look at a real simple thought this evening about Peter, and we're going to apply it to ourselves, just three simple points this evening that we'll make. But I tell you what a blessing it's been to just study and prepare for this evening's service. I always appreciate Brother Vinoy. He's always very kind to make room, you know, for people to come and continue their ministry. That's always a blessing. Now, if you're in the book of 2 Peter, if you'll stand, if you're able this evening, we're going to read the first 10 verses of the first chapter. And our thought's going to come from the latter part of this reading. But in the book of 2 Peter, the second epistle of Peter, it starts off in verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. In verse 4, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of divine knowledge, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. And if you'll stand while I pray, please. Dear Lord, we do thank you for the privilege to be here in this pulpit this evening. Lord, I just pray that you'll just bring forward the message, Lord, that you've laid on my heart, that it'll be an encouragement. There is never a mistake. There's never an accident. There's never chance. There's always the providence of God. And you have brought this, Lord, for a purpose here this evening. I pray it'll be an encouragement. It'll be a challenge. And, Lord, I particularly pray that if there's someone here tonight that's never known you as their personal Savior, I don't care how faithful they are to church. I don't care how religious they are. I don't care, you know, what their parents and grandparents did in church. If they've never asked you to be their personal Savior, that the message this evening will touch that heart, penetrate that, and just draw them close to you. Lord, all these things we ask in your blessed name. Amen. You might be seated. And I want to bring a message tonight on the aspect of Peter, the new man. Now, I'm going to ask you a question today. I'm not going to ask you to answer out loud or show hands. But how many of you would say that you have consistently walked in the way that God has instructed you to do? That day after day, you just hit the mark. You very seldom fail God. You've got no issues with sin, large or small, in your life. That you're just able to walk that path that God has put before you, and you do it without error. You do it exemplary for all. Well, if I were to ask for a show of hands, I don't think there would be any that would go up if we're truly honest, right? All of us have failed God. All of us have come short of the glory of God, and all of us are just sinners saved by grace. And when we begin to look at the epistle of Peter, we begin to see a man whose life was absolutely changed through the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, through the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Peter went on to lead the New Testament church. Now, we often think about people who've gotten saved in the Bible, and we look at the experience, for instance, of Paul on the Damascus Road. But I'll tell you that when you look at Paul and where he was religious and he was well-educated and he was a persecutor of the church, and Jesus converted him that he would know Christ as his Savior. And then you look at the distance that Peter traveled. And when Peter was called, Simon was called by the Lord Jesus Christ, God really had his hands full in bringing Peter to the place where he could use him in the way that he was called. Now, the setting of 2 Peter is just a few years before Peter would be martyred. He was going to go to his death professing the Lord Jesus Christ. He had poured himself upon the ministry, upon the battlefield for Christ from the time of Christ's crucifixion and his resurrection. It was Peter who we know who spoke out at the day of Pentecost. It was Peter who stood up to the Sanhedrin court, those thugs that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. But in between the time that Peter wrote this epistle and the time that Peter was first called in the book of Matthew, we see a tremendous transformation in his life. Now, everybody here, every one of us, seriously, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you should be able to go back to a day when your heart was changed, when you called upon a Savior, asked Him to come into your heart to forgive you of your sins, you realized the unworthiness you had in your life, and the absolute victory and grace and the blessings and eternal life that Christ could bring to you. Amen? You should be able to go back to that day. And I'm telling you that while none of us has been perfect, we should be able to chart in our life a progression where we're getting closer to God. And the things that easily beset us, they ought to not as easily beset us, perhaps, as they did a few years ago. We ought to be maturing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want us to look at three things here on Peter, the new man. The first thing I want you to do is, if you'll hold your hand there in 2 Peter, I want you to turn back to the book of Matthew, the fourth chapter. And we're going to look at the calling of Peter. And really important to realize where God brought him from. And a very, very simple thing about how Simon Peter was called. Now, in the book of Matthew, the fourth chapter, we look at the verses that immediately precede this. We see what was going on with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has begun his earthly ministry. He has went through the 40 days of fasting. He has faced Satan, and Satan has promoted the things that Satan says he could do for Christ. He has faced that temptation. He has finished his fasting. He has begun preaching. And in the book of Matthew, the fourth chapter, we see the calling, as it were, of Simon Peter. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter." Simon called Peter. We're going to come back to that. "And Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway left their nets and followed him." And it goes on, and for the sake of time, we won't get into the calling of the next two brothers of James and John, but we see Jesus is beginning to assemble the apostles that would follow him. Now, I want you to remember that there was a difference between a disciple and an apostle. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of disciples. But Jesus called these 12 men, including Judas Iscariot, who was a devil, you know, who betrayed him. He called these 12 men, and for 3 years he trained them. He spent every minute he could teaching them, shaping them, and encouraging them that when he was resurrected, when he was ascended, they would lead the New Testament church. He was preparing them that they would do the job that he had in mind for them just a short time. Now, I want you to realize here as we read this scripture that in verse 18, it says that Jesus, he walked by, he approached them, there was no accident, and when he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter. Now, the first thing I want you to see is that Simon was the man that Jesus originally called. And Simon was a rough character. I don't know if you've ever been, and I know some of you were in the military, and I'm sorry, but there's an old saying about sailors, and I don't know who was in the Navy, and I'm sorry, please forgive me. But rough as a sailor is what they say. And you see Simon Peter, but you see Simon as he interacts with the Lord Jesus Christ through this 3 years. Now, there are four different accounts in the Gospels, three in the Gospels and one in the book of Acts, where it lists the complete list of the apostles that Jesus called. And if you look at all four of those lists, they're amazingly similar. It lists the 12, but Brother Ralph, it lists three groups of four. And these four men that are listed here in the book of Matthew, the fourth chapter, they became his inner circle. They became that when there was something that was special going on, Jesus brought them with him. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, there was the accompaniment there. And Jesus just had a special place. Now, all of them were special. And you begin to look at what Jesus did in their lives. But we know a lot about Peter and Simon and Andrew and James and John. We don't know so much about some of the others, really, truthfully, other than their name. There's not much that's recorded in the gospel. But when you look in the gospel messages and you see these 12 apostles, Peter is listed as the first one in all four of those lists. Why? God had his hand upon him. And he was taking him from a place where he wasn't religiously educated. He wasn't a scholar. You know, he wasn't a person of importance and power and all that. Peter was a man who surrendered his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he called him here, he said, "Simon, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And Jesus did exactly that. Now, we see this message 30-some years later when Peter's writing his last epistle, as it were, that's recorded. But Jesus knew exactly what he was getting on that day when he called Simon, and that Simon was going to be impulsive and impetuous and outspoken. And truthfully, if you look in the Epistle of James and the writing of James, he said that a double man is unstable in all his way. Peter was that man. Or actually, I should say that Simon was that man. He was the first one out of the boat. He was the first one to call for trouble. He was the one who said, "I will never leave you. I'll never deny you. I would never forsake you. I'll go to the grave with you." And yet, he was the one who denied the Lord Jesus Christ so miserably. But we see in all of this that Jesus knew what he was doing, and Simon loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think about the name of Simon. And really, our message tonight is going to be a lot about Simon Peter, and Peter. Now, the name Simon, I'd never really studied this, but Simon was a shortened version of Simeon. And we know the story from the book of Luke, the second chapter, very familiar story of Simeon. And Simeon was that priest who held the Lord Jesus Christ in his arms in his infancy. And through the Holy Spirit, Simeon began to prophesy, and he talked about how the Lord would come, and he was going to save. He would be a light unto the Gentiles, and the prophecy of the wonderfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ reaching out. Well, here we are, some 30 years later. Jesus finds Simon, whose name is short for Simeon, and by the way, Simon itself, the meaning of the word is listener. And I believe that Simon did listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the amazingness of God bringing all this kind of back together. There was a man named Simeon who held the Lord Jesus Christ and spoke about the gospel and the glory of his righteousness. And some 30 years later, you see Jesus calling a rough man out by the name of Simon and using him as a vessel to present the gospel to a lost and dying world. Isn't it amazing how God gets things done? When we can't figure it out, he's never perplexed. And you may look at your life, and you may be here tonight saying, "I don't know what the next decision I need to make. I don't know how to make it. You know, I don't know where I'm going to go, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and I'm beside myself." But folks, Jesus has never been surprised. He's never lost a battle. He has never been taken advantage of. And he loves you with an everlasting love, just like he did Simon. He called Simon, and Simon was rough and difficult at times. And in fact, if you go back and look in the New Testament, you'll see that Simon really was really the only one of his apostles that ever publicly rebuked the Lord Jesus Christ, and he got in trouble for that. So he listened to Jesus. But he did not always apply what he had learned, as it were. And yet God had called this rough man to lead the New Testament church, to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. And after 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ, we see Simon come to the place of trial when he had slept through, as it were, the Garden of Gethsemane. And they came to the courtyard, and there was the mockery of a trial, and the maiden had asked, "Aren't you one of these men?" And three times he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, and it changed him. And folks, I'm going to tell you, if you look at Simon and you think he was a failure, you're exactly right. If you look at Stephen and you think this guy's a failure, you're exactly right. And if you look at your own life and you say, how many times I failed God, you are exactly right. Isn't it amazing that God isn't like us? That he doesn't have the spirit of revenge and bitterness and what have you? That he is so quick to forgive us and to understand how frail and how broken really and how easily we are deceived. He showed kindness to Adam in the garden after Adam had sinned. He showed kindness to Peter, the Lord Jesus did. It's amazing that the Lord Jesus, you know, the angel came and said, go and tell the brethren and Peter that Christ is risen, that he's not here. We look at Peter, we look at Simon, we think about what a failure he is, just like us. But you see, there was a day when Peter began to be transformed. Simon began to go away, as it were. And Peter, the new man, began to have the strength that he needed to stand. In the scripture that I read for you from the book of 2 Peter, Peter talks about, and remember now, this is the new Peter, and he's only a few years away from ending his life, laying down his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he talks about the value of the things that really only God can bring in our life, of our faith and our virtue and our temperance and our knowledge and our godliness, brotherly kindness and charity and love. And what is he says in verse 8? He says, for if these things be in you and they abound. Now, I want you to get that. We got these things in us, but do we ever really unleash the goodness of God in our life? Brother Coulter came and he began preaching, and we were having Sure Foundations. And I called him, and I said, Brother Coulter, I said, would you be able to teach Sunday school? And he said, well, I guess so. He said, I think that's a little like preaching with the parking brake on. Never forget that. And he didn't leave the parking brake on, by the way. We had a really good service. But I wonder how many times in our life that we go against the word that Peter had just said, and we leave the parking brake on, and we don't let the goodness of God come forth and abound in our life. You ever meet somebody that is just a happy Christian? And they may not have two nickels to rub together. And they may not have prominence. And truthfully, their health may not be good, but they just love Jesus. And every time you turn around, you get in front of Brother Gary, and they're just a blessing. You go to be an encouragement to them, and you walk away feeling 10 times better because of just being in the presence of that one where the love of God has abounded. So Peter called out the church. He's writing this letter, and he says, if these things be in you and they abound, that they make us neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on in verse 9, and I wonder if Simon Peter, maybe he was looking back at himself. In verse 9 he says, but he that lacketh these things is blind, he cannot see afar off, he's nearsighted, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Jesus made a new man out of Peter. Jesus made a new person out of each one of us if we know him. I want us to look at Peter's name. As I told you, the name Simon means listener. And it was a it was a contraction of Simeon. But from the time that the Lord Jesus called Peter, he called him Simon, he also called him Peter. He gave him two names, Brother Gary. He had the name that was given to him by his parents. And if you go back and look at the gospel, and you follow this, and whenever you read Simon Peter anymore, I want you to think about this. It's not new to me. I was introduced to this thought just a couple of months ago. But when Jesus is talking to the old man, Brother Gary, look at it. He'll often call him Simon. And in the New Testament, after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, you only see Simon referred to twice when it comes to Peter. Every other time he's known as Peter. You see it where the Roman centurion was sending for him, you know, go find Simon, whose surname is Peter. And you see this one scripture, Brother Gary, where Peter is writing the last thing he's recorded that he's going to write. And look at it. He self-identifies himself as saying, Simon Peter. He calls himself Simon, and he calls himself Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter was able to go back in his own life and look at that day and look at that transformation, look at that process where Christ took him from being the rough fisherman by the sea to fulfilling that scripture to saying, I will make you a fisher of men. Some 35 years after the Lord had called him and he had walked with the Lord Jesus Christ and he had preached and he had ministered, he had also matured. And the Simon that Christ had referred to so many times, that old nature had been put behind him. He had become, you know, the new man, as it were, in God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter, and I want you to look at an exchange between the Lord Jesus and Peter. And as I said, there was a day when Peter, when he just opposed what God's plan was for the Lord Jesus. In the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter, I want us to look at a couple of verses. We see that Christ is coming to the end of his earthly ministry. And in verse 31 of Luke 22, it says, And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Now remember, there he is referring to that old man. Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith faileth not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. You see, Jesus knew that old man was still in there someplace. You ever get to the point where you just really don't serve God the way that you should? We all do. The Bible does say there's a sin that does so easily beset us. And I tell you what, Satan knows what it is. You know what it is. There's certain things that you know, they'd never bother you in life. And they could be the worst temptation in the world to the person that sits right across the aisle from you. Simon was that man who was in the flesh. Peter was that born-again person that God had called to save him. Simon in the flesh, Peter in the new birth. And here in these verses, we see Jesus intentionally, Jesus didn't make any mistakes, that he intentionally called him out in both ways. Simon, you in the flesh, you're going to fail me. You're going to do the things that you said you wouldn't do, you're going to do them. Are we ever like that? Well, sure we are. How do we deal with it? Do we hide it under a rock? Do we just hope it will go away? Or do we recognize that if we don't stay in the Word and pray, and Brother Ralph, we just stay faithful to church and come together to fellowship together and to worship Him who's worthy and to hear the preaching of God's Word, we're vulnerable. We're careful. You know, I don't care how careful we are. We can't be careful enough to avoid having those temptations that Jesus called out to Simon. I've been open about this, and there's nothing you can do about it. But I will tell you, it really is a concern to me, not just at Bible Way or other churches of like faith, but how many people have stepped away from worshiping God their Savior. It's a risk, Brother Gary. You know, we don't want to go back to being Simon. If we've been saved, we want to go on to be Peter. That name meant Petros. It was the rock. It was exemplary of when Jesus gave that nickname, as it were, to Peter. It wasn't because he had earned it. It was what he was expecting him to grow into. We see that the new birth came, and Simon became Peter only in the book of Acts. Pentecost came. Peter preached. He was carried before the magistrates. He was put in prison. He was beaten. He was persecuted. And he wanted to be Peter. He didn't want to be Simon. The Holy Spirit had transformed him, as it were. I want you to look in the book of John, the third chapter. Very, very familiar scripture. But we're going to apply it to Peter's statement here. So if you'll turn to the book of John, the third chapter, we're going to read a verse or two there. But Peter, in the book of 2 Peter, had given us these verses. He said that, let me read to you. He said, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." Amen. I want you to look at the book of John, the third chapter. Very familiar scripture. Most of us could quote this. Nicodemus, this religious man who was right, as it were, in the sight of people, he tried to do what was righteous. He tried to live the law, as it were. He came to Jesus by night, and he asked him, in the words that are captured, what he might do that he might have assurance of eternal life. And in the book of John, the third chapter, the fifth verse, Jesus says this. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is the spirit." I'm going to call out Simon. I'm going to call out Peter there. In verse 7, it says, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou cannot tell from whence it came, whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." It goes on to talk about how our life has got to go back to a day when we know that we were changed. As Peter said, to be purged from our old sin. That word purged means to be cleansed, to be freed, to be separated, not to return again. That we would have true salvation. Not religion. And by the way, religion is often the enemy of salvation. Many, many, many years ago, when we were in North Carolina, we heard Dr. Chris Hazelip. He came to our church and preached and a revival. And he'd been a very, very successful pastor. His church loved him. And he had just grown that church. And he was such a blessing to them, Brother Gary. But I'll never forget, he came and preached. And he said, "Why am I on the mission field? Why am I coming back? Why am I preaching here tonight?" And he spoke about the number of souls that he had seen saved from the padded pew of conservative Baptist churches. Religion will convince you that you have something waiting for you on the other side. Works will convince you that you're going to be okay, you know, that you're doing better than most, and God's going to take that into consideration. Salvation, as Simon experienced it, as Peter received it, they take you to the place of saying, "I am not worthy, but God through His grace has provided a lamb that was spotless, that was a sacrifice, the blood atonement that was given and required that I might have freedom from my sins, that I might have forgiveness, that I might have eternal life." So we see Simon Peter. Simon no more. The man was still in there, you know those things. He was still vulnerable. But he was Peter, the new man, saved by grace. And God had brought him through many experiences that shaped him and molded him and caused him to experience those things that God would have him to do that he might be able to lead. Now, I don't always like, in fact, most of the time, I don't like things that go on in the world around us today. I'll be very open about that. And you can't change some of it. Some of it you change on your knees, through prayer. And sometimes you ask God to change you, that you can work through the system and what have you. But church, I'm going to tell you that God usually uses the tough things in our life to make the biggest changes. That's the truth. Have you ever had something very serious happen in your life and God just put you down for a few minutes? Maybe put you down for a few weeks? Maybe put you down for a couple of months? And while you're in that position, Brother Ralph, He begins to minister and speak to you and work in your life and show you His greatness, His glory, and the fact that really He owns not only the next breath that we have that we'll need, but he takes care of every control. He looks after every area that in the Christian life, that it's all within his hands. And sometimes, unfortunately, bad things do happen to great people. Sometimes terrible things happen to wonderful people that love God. I think about the experiences of Peter and the vacillation. He would go left, and then he would run right, and he would say yes, and then he would say no, and he would say never, and then now. And God brought him through that to become the man who wrote this epistle, who encouraged others that were behind him to say, you can live for the Lord Jesus Christ and never be disappointed. That these experiences that you have, particularly the bad ones, especially the hard ones, they're the ones that are going to shape you. They're the ones that are going to encourage you. Right or wrong, and I can assure you it's by God's providence, not by my choice. I have become very blessed, Brother Don, in that I get to mentor, I'll use that word, a group of young men. They're in their 30s and 40s, and they got low expectations, but every once in a while they'll ask me for help. I do my best. But when I go back and try to help those men, Brother Don, you were such a faithful evangelist, such a wonderful pastor. When you go back and you try to encourage them, how many times do we reach back to something that was very, very difficult that God brought us through? Something where he just manifest himself, and that experience was something that we would not wish on anybody. We wouldn't want to do it over again, and at the point that we were going through it, it was just terrible, and we couldn't understand. But God brought something positive. He brought something beautiful out of the difficult things that haunt us and follow us, as it were, in life. So I want us to look at Peter this evening, and this idea that Simon Peter, only time that you'll hear Peter refer to himself in that context is here in this last book that he's written. The old man was behind him, but the new man was the man who wrote this. Hey, church, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, and we're not able to sing, I understand that, but if we were, you would be the choir. What does it feel like to serve Jesus? To know in your heart that he's your Savior. To know that he died upon the cross of Calvary, not just for the sins of the whole world, but for you as an individual. And when we fall short of the glory of God, and as Peter did, and Paul, he said, those things I would not do, those I do, those I would do, I do not. When we fall into that, Jesus knows and he understands. I wonder how many of the young people, and young is all relative, I wonder how many families that they've moved away from church and they're just embarrassed to come back because they think someone would ask a question, why am I not here or what have you. And, you know, Satan just gets in people's head and puts those barriers up like that. I think about Peter, Brother Ralph. I think about Simon. Just imagine that when Jesus looked in his face there in the courtyard after he had denied him, just imagine the conversation that Peter would have had with John as they walked to the empty tomb on that third morning. What do you say, Brother Ralph? You know, yes, John, I denied him. I don't know what I was doing. You know, I shouldn't have done it. Just imagine the difficulty of that conversation. The new man, saved by grace through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not always a perfect man. And if you let Satan come into your heart and leverage that, you'll stop doing everything. You'll stop reading your Bible. You'll stop praying. You'll stop trying to share the gospel with others. You'll live forever in that moment of defeat, and it will be like a paralyzing impact on you. I'm so thankful that Peter could look upon his life and call himself a servant, because that's really what we are. He could call himself a called apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was number one on the list of the 12 in each time it was recorded. Why? Because God had chosen him to carry that message. Well, folks, Peter's in heaven, and God has called us not to be the old Steve, but to be the new Steve. Not to be the old person that was purged from our sins years ago, but to walk in the newness of life. We live in a difficult world around us today. And if we think things are going to get better, more friendly towards the church, easier, what have you, we should probably rethink that pretty quickly. But isn't it amazing when we look at Peter and we look at the apostles? After the ascension, after the day of Pentecost, they were okay. They were comfortable to stay in Jerusalem. All of a sudden, they kind of had a following. They were beginning to get traction. Until what happened, Brother Ralph? Until persecution came. And then it was time for them to go and spread the gospel. Sometimes the greatest witness we'll ever have is during the time of difficulty. Daniel served a great deal in the offices that God had let him have. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the same. But what are the things that are recorded, Brother Rose? When the day of difficulty came, they didn't go back. Didn't go back to being Simon. He stood upon the rock. Well, folks, I'm going to finish up for us this evening, and then we'll have prayer, and we'll open up the altar to anyone that would like to come and pray. But I'm going to tell you this. It's time for us to go forward, not to go back. Christ died that we might have newness of life, that we might be the new man, that we might walk in all of the things that he has called us to do, like Peter did. We'll be held accountable for that one day. I don't look forward to that. Brother Mitchell used to often say, you know, we should not look forward to the judgment, as it were, to give an account of our life, because it won't be as glorious as we probably think it's going to be. Brother Jack had a saying, if you'll recall, he used to say, you know, we're not nearly as spiritual as we let on. We need to walk as the new man. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, I thank you for the privilege to stand here, Lord, in this church. And, Lord, I just appreciate the word that you've given. Lord, I had this message on my heart weeks and weeks and weeks ago, and then Brother Vinoy opened the door that I could bring it this evening. It wasn't by accident. There's not a chance in the world that he just happened to be in Illinois tonight and that each one of us happened to be here. God, I've presented your word, not my interpretation of it, not my spin on it, but I've brought what you laid forward. And it's for somebody that's here tonight, Lord. Maybe there's one person here tonight that just struggles and they say, man, you know, I just can't get away from being Simon. I'm rough and outspoken. I'm double-minded. You know, I go left, I go right, I go up, I go down, I say yes, I say no. Lord, maybe that person, Satan's just been in their head. They're so discouraged, Lord. Maybe that's the meaning for this evening. And really what they want is they just want to get settled in. They want to be that rock. They want to be Petros. They want to be Peter. Lord, I think that's the desire within each one of us, is to stop being that old person and to walk in the newness of life that you've brought. Jesus, you, your word, the Holy Spirit, that's the only thing that can change the heart, the life, the soul, the eternal destination of a man. And Lord, we ask you tonight for this congregation that you'll just move, Lord, upon each heart that's here. Lord, I ask you that you'll just, Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, they've never had that new life experience. They've never been born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus, Lord, that you'll just touch in that heart tonight.